session on the fiqh of fasting, or the fiqh of Ramadan, maybe to be more particular, with our sheikh, our brother, Imam Farid Abdullah, from Bahamas, but currently from Los Angeles. So he's going to do a session today and a session tomorrow, and inshallah we should get some good benefit from it, so pay close attention. Jazakallah khair.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I was assigned the book Subul Salam to use in this particular session, and the area deals with as-siyam, ahkam as-siyam, the rules and regulations pertaining to fasting. Now what we're going to do, because there are certain areas of fasting that Al-Amir As-San'ani doesn't deal with, and also Hafiz Ibn Hajar in his Bulugh al-Muram doesn't deal with, we're going to open up with some areas that inshallah shall be of some benefit to the brothers and the sisters. Amr ibn Murra al-Juhani, he said, a man came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, ara'ayta in shahidtu an la ilaha illallah wa annaka Rasulullah. O Messenger of Allah, what is your opinion? What do you think about me if I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship other than Allah? And that you are the Messenger of Allah. Wa salaytul khams. And I pray the five prayers. Wa addaytu zakah. And I discharge the trust of zakah. Wa sumtu Ramadan wa qumtu. And I fast the month of Ramadan and stand up in prayer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمِمَّنْ أَنَا. Who shall I be amongst, Ya Rasulullah? He says, أَنْتَ مِنَ السِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَى. You will be amongst the Siddiqeen, those truthful, and the Shuhada, the martyrs. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another hadith by Abi Umama radiyallahu anhu, he said, قلت يا رسول الله, O Messenger of Allah, دلني على عمل أدخلني به الجنة. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يدخلني الله به الجنة. O Messenger of Allah, guide me to a deed. If I were to do it, Allah would cause me to enter paradise. Put me in Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, عليك بالصوم فلا مثل له. He says, go and fast because there is no likeness like fasting. These particular narratives teach us something of the benefit and the virtues of fasting. Legally, the word siyam is from an Arabic word, of course, it is Arabic, but it means al-imsak, that is to refrain from certain things. And in our context, it refers to refraining from everything that invalidates the fast from the period of the true dawn until the setting of the sun. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith by Abi Huraira, and there is a discussion among the ulama concerning it. There are two with different expressions. One hadith by Abi Huraira, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به فليس لله حاجة في أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. Whoever does not give up lying and acting according to it, Allah has no need of him giving up his food and drink. This was collected by Al-Bukhari. This particular narration, according to the scholars, the ulama, means that the person receives nothing for his fast except hunger and thirst. We have another narrative from Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الصيام جنة. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said الصيام, fasting, is a shield. فلا يرفث ولا يجهل وإن امرؤ قاتله أو شاتمه فليقول إني صائم مرتين. The Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said fasting is a shield against the fire of hell. Fasting is a shield against evil. Now you see, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions something, and he mentions it generally without specifying anything connected with it, he says it's a shield. He didn't say against this or that. It means it's a protection in every which way. Fasting. And perhaps this is the reason why he said in the previous hadith, لا مثل لا, there is nothing like it. Now, he, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, goes on and he says, فلا يرفث. الرفث, this particular expression, normally refers to marital relations. He says, don't do it. لا يرفث. It also refers to those things that would lead you up to doing it. And we will find, inshallah, as we go on, that there are some exceptions to this rule. But generally, we know that marital relations, that is out. There are certain things that you're allowed to do, inshallah, we will see that. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, وَلَا يَجْهَلْ, do not act ignorantly. According to what we have in the sharh, the explanation of this particular narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is telling the believers, the brothers and the sisters, do not act like the people of Jahiliyyah. Do not act like the people who do not have any guidance from Allah and who are not on the sunnah. Do not frown raising your voice and shouting when there is no need. Do not act like a person who is ignorant. And if someone abuses you, tell him twice, I'm fasting, brother, I'm fasting. I'm fasting. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on and he says, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. I swear by him in whose hand is my soul. This is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this expression of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear by him who controls my life that there is nothing like fasting. The scent, the aroma, the sweetness I'm describing it as, that comes from the lips of the fasting person with Allah is sweeter than misk. It's more perfumed. And you will find it on Yawm al-Qiyamah. يَتْرُكُ تَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ وَشَّهْوَتَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He gives up his food, his drink, and his desires for my pleasure. The focus then is on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَصِّيَامُ لِي وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِعَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. Fasting is for me and I shall reward the fasting person. On the day when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call the people, oh brother, you were in jihad, you go through Babul Jihad. Brother who used to stand up at night, go through that particular door. And there are the brothers who used to fast, we have this door over here for you. Abu Bakr, you know, he will be called from all doors. You know, there are few people who could hope for that, but this is a blessing because of his jihad, because of his sincerity, because of his attachment to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was on the sunnah. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically said, speaking about Abi Bakr and Umar, says, فَقْتَدُوا بِالَّذَيْنِ مِنْ بَعْدِي أَبِي بَكْرُ وَعُمَرًا. Follow these two after me, Abi Bakr and Umar. Why? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once saw a dream, and he had milk until it was coming out of his fingers. And he gave the rest of it to Umar ibn al-Khattab. كَيْفَ أَوَّلْتَهَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ How do you interpret it? He says, العلم. Saw people in a dream. Some people had garments up to their necks, half naked. Some to the waist, but some people were draped. And Umar was one of those who was dragging his garment and said, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa awaltaha? How do you interpret it? Said, the man was on his deen. The man was on his deen. This particular narration then advises that we should protect ourselves and guard our fasting. There is in the Quran something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. He says, Kutiba alaykumu siyam. كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ This particular expression when found in the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it means or implies compulsion. It is as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says فَرَضَ It has the same intensity. This has been made compulsory on you. كَمَا Kama is something which shows resemblance. As it was made compulsory on those before you. What is meant here by kama? Some of the ulama says the same way it was made compulsory on them, it was made compulsory on you. Meaning the compulsion or the compulsory nature of it. Others say what was meant by this statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the same way you were commanded to fast at the beginning of the deen, those people after you were also, or those before you, sorry, the Jews and the Christians, were also commanded to fast. How? Once the brother's sun came down, they could not sleep if they wanted to eat. They had to eat first. They could not have relationships before sleeping. If they slept, they had to wait until the following day to start all over and hope to get some grub down. The following day. And this was later, of course, abrogated and cancelled. Now, the other areas about fasting, and these are some of the things that the Sheikh doesn't deal with. Fasting is obligatory on the Muslim, al-baligh, al-aqil, al-muqim, al-qadir, al-salim min al-mawani'. The person who has to fast is the individual who is a Muslim, who has attained maturity, who is, of course, sane, who is a resident, the person who is free of anything that prevents him from fasting. And we will see what is meant by this, inshallah. But before we go into that area, there are some things that we need to understand about maturity. There are certain signs when a person attains puberty, or bulugh. And this is important. Why? Because we know in the hadith of Ali radiallahu anhu, which was collected by Abi Dawood in his Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, رُفِعَ الْقَلَمُ عَنْ ثَلَاثَ The pen of responsibility, the pen which writes down your good and your evil deeds have been raised up from three, النائم حتى يستيقظ وعن الصبي حتى يحتلم وعن المجنون حتى يعقل This particular narration says, and the pen of responsibility which writes down the things that we do have been lifted from three, the person whilst he's asleep, he's not responsible. The person, the child, until he has some type of discharge. And the person who is insane until he gains his sanity. This particular narration then shows one of the signs, and that is what they call ihtilam, when a person has some type of seminal discharge. Okay? That once this happens, this is a sign that puberty has been attained. We have a narration which shows that there is another sign when a person has attained puberty, Islamically. And this is when you have pubic hairs. Atiyya al-Quradhi says, Kuntu min sabi bani Qurayza. I was among the captives of bani Qurayza. Fakanu yanzurun, faman anbata al-sha'r, qutil. Waman lam yunbit, لم يقتل فكنت ممن أو في من لم ينبت. They would look at the small persons or those who seem to have attained puberty, and if they had pubic hairs, they would put them with the men. Perhaps I didn't translate the first part. Let me do that. This particular narration from Atiyah al-Quradhi, he says, I was among the captives of Bani Qurayza. I was among the captives of Bani Qurayza. And they would look at the young boys, check them out. And whoever had pubic hairs, he was put with the men. And whoever didn't have any, he was set aside with the children. He says, I was of those who had no pubic hairs. Okay? What they were doing with them, they dug a ditch for these individuals. They dug a ditch for them. And Sa'd came because they wanted someone to judge. See, these people had turned their backs on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and had broken the pledge and had threatened the lives of all the people in Medina. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given commands and directives from above the seven heavens, go to these people. They need to be checked. And he went with them, and he dealt with them in a manner that brothers understand from the hood, how you deal with some people sometimes. And he dealt with them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with them until they came down and they surrendered. And they wanted a judge. And so they called the brother. And when he was going, he says, remember the relationship you had with them. And he wouldn't look at them. Passed by another group of these people. They remember the relationship you had with us before. Didn't look. Until they did a lot of this to him, he says, you will see today that I will not fear the criticism of anybody in respect to Allah's deen. And he went on. He says, Ya Rasulullah, take all of the men, take all of their heads off and put them in a ditch. Take the children and make them over there with the women. This person, when he died, the Prophet ﷺ said, the throne of Allah shook at the death of this brother. This particular narration shows that one of the signs of maturity is the growing of pubic hairs. Another sign that we have based on some of the narratives in the hadith is attaining the age of 15. And this is because of a narrative of Ibn Umar. When he was presented, you know what the brothers used to do in those days. Because they lived in a society where the atmosphere was one of righteousness. Where they would see brothers and they would see their fathers going on the battlefield, seeing who could get to paradise first. So the children coming up in this environment had a different type of inspiration. When the call came for jihad and giving up the dunya for the akhirah, even the children wanted to stand up. Even the kids wanted to get up and participate. And so Ibn Umar, being of those who had the tarbiyah, the training from among the sahaba, when the time came, he stood up, Ya Rasulullah, let me go with the people to paradise. Let me be of the brothers whose blood is spilled fi sabilillah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at the young boy in his age. Says, you know, not yet. He was only 14 at the time. He said, but when I attain the age 15, yeah, you ready now. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, that brother Az-Zahid, this brother who had given up the dunya for Allah's pleasure, who had placed the position of kingdom behind his back and took the khilafah and wanted the people to be on the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if Allah wills, you will see one of the statements he gave in one of the lectures to come, inshaAllah, concerning the sunnah. But this brother here, he said, when this particular narration came to him, he said, this is the distinguishing factor between puberty and what is before it. And this position was held by a number of the scholars. So we have so far some indications of puberty. If a person has the seminal discharge, this is a sign of puberty. The pubic hairs is a sign of puberty. All right, attaining the age of 15 is a sign of puberty. And of course, for the sisters, if they have their menses. According to Aisha radiallahu anha, قال لا يقبل الله الصلاة حائض إلا بخمار. This particular narration was collected by Abi Dawood. He said, she, radiallahu anha, said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept the prayer of al-ha'id. Ha'id refers to a lady on her menses. The lady on her menses doesn't pray. Because of this, we understand from the understanding of the earlier generation, what is intended behind this hadith is the person, the lady who has attained puberty. And the word ha'id is used, the Arabic word, for the lady on her menses, to show that menses is an indication or a sign of attaining puberty. Alright? So this particular narration says Allah doesn't accept the salah of this type of the sister who has attained this without a khimar. That is the head covering. Alright? When we say head covering, we're talking about that which covers the head, the ear, the neck, and it comes all the way in the front of the body. Sisters ain't supposed to be wearing turbans. I know in some areas they think that it's all right to wrap the top and have your ear showing and your neck out. That's not right. You know the verse in Surah An-Nur was revealed to address that? The people, the women in Jahiliyyah used to have their heads covered. But they used to wear it and the head would be covered and the neck was out and the ear would be showing. And Allah revealed to the believing women so that they would distinguish themselves. وَلْيَضْرِبْنَ بِخُمُرِهِنَّ عَلَى جُيُوبِهِنَّ. Let your headwear come and cover your ear and your jade from the neck all the way down. Be different to them kafirat. Be different to those disbelieving women, sisters. So a person or individuals who have that understanding is no understanding. We said that the person who is required to fast has to be sane. You don't require a person who is insane to fast. There is a narrative and an event which took place during the life of the companions. This was reported by Ibn Abbas. Ibn Abbas, you know, Ibn Abbas was a brother. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for him. Prayed for him. Oh Allah, Allahumma faqihu fi al-deen wa alimhu al-ta'wil. Huh? Give him understanding of the deen. Fiqh fi al-deen. Al-fiqh wal-faham. Fiqh means understanding. Not just collecting information, but understanding it. Wa-ta'wil. And an ability to express the meanings and tell you what the Quran means. Ibn Abbas, because of this, he had a certain type of character, and it could be seen on his face. Said that Ibn Abbas, because of shedding tears so much, he had permanent lines on his face, man. Know what happened? The man understood his deen, and so it was seen in his character. It was seen when nobody could see him but Allamul Ghuyub. It was seen when only the person who sees the unseen could see him at night. When his wife was sleeping, tears would be coming out of his eyes out of fear for the life to come. Radiallahu anhu. That was a generation. He says, a person, an insane lady came to Umar and she had committed adultery. And Umar took some consultation with some of the brothers and Umar says, look, stone her. Stone her. Now people think Umar was hash. No, Umar wasn't hash at all. And you would begin to appreciate that when you see what his night endeavors were and how he used to reprimand himself before the day of reckoning. And you would understand how soft he was inside. But Umar was the type of individual where Allah's deen meant everything, above everything. And this is why when the person assassinated him and they tore his stomach out and milk wouldn't stay inside, come out on his lap, and he would lose consciousness. And the people couldn't wake him up. You want to wake up Amir al-Mu'mineen, remind him about Allah. He says, Ya Umar al-Salah, it's time to worship Allah. Time to worship Allah. And when he heard it, he got out of himself, got out of it. Allah's call is here. It's time to get up. In spite of this, people had deen. They were on the sunnah. They were on the sunnah. Umar was in difficult. The man was on his deen, radiallahu anhu. Here he came and he told them, he said, yeah, take her and stone her. And they passed by Ali ibn Abi Talib and he says, ما شأن هذه? What's the affair of this sister here? He understood that, you know, sister, what's going on? قالوا مجنون بني فلان, says, this is a lady who is the insane person from the tribe of such and such. Omar commanded that she be stoned. He says, take her back. This is Ali ibn Abi Talib. Take her back. And then he came along with them. He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Amma alimta anna al-qalam qad rufi'an thalath? He said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, don't you know that the pen has been raised from three? From the person who was insane until he gained his sanity? From the person who was sleeping until they wake up, and from the child until they attain puberty? Umar says, Bala. He says, yes. See, Ali radiallahu anhu reminded him of something at the time wasn't in the forefront of his head. We need reminders every now and then. It's crucial. As this particular narration points out, it could be the difference of life and death. We need a reminder every now and then. It's good for the believers. Here, Umar Ali said to him, says, فَمَا بَالُ هَذِهِ تُرْجِمْ? Then why in the world is the sister being stoned? She's insane. Umar says, لَا شَيْءٍ. No, nothing. Says, فَأَرْسِلْهَا. Ali says, then let her go. Umar said, yeah, let her go. And when Ali turned away, he says, Allahu Akbar. Oh, pray, Allahu Akbar. Why? For the brother who brought to the forefront of his mind something that he had forgotten. Didn't consider it a criticism. It was something that helped him at a crucial time. This was reported by Abi Dawood, and it actually points out the principle that we said earlier, that the pen is raised from those individuals. There is an area also not dealt with in the book by the Sheikh of Subul Islam, and this particular area here has to do with the person who is ill. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that if you were sick or on a journey, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ, then make up a like number of days. Al-Qurtubi, in his book on Ahkam, on laws, he says sickness is of two types. The first type is where a person is unable with the sickness to fast. He says, فَعَلَيْهِمْ الْفِتْرُ وَاجِبًا. Then for him to break his fast, it is compulsory. He says, and the other type is where a person is able to fast, but it is so difficult on him, it harms him. He says, it is recommended that he breaks his fast, and only an ignorant person under these circumstances would fast. Don't hurt yourself. Don't hurt yourself. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, لا ضرر ولا ضرار. There should be no harm, no reciprocation of harm. This particular statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is used almost in every chapter of fiqh. Two words, la darar wa la dirar. But because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the gift to express a lot by using a few words, the ulama have deduced from this particular hadith a principle or a number of principles that are found in every chapter of law. Among those things, that darar yuzal, that harm should be removed. Not only that, it should be prevented. And anything that leads to harm should be prevented. So when it comes up to you harming yourself, it should be prevented. Al-Bukhari mentions something in this narration. He says, اِعْتَلَلْتُ بِنَيْسَابُورِ عِلَّةً خَفِيفًا. He says, you know, I had a light sickness in Naysabur. No, I was sick. He was sick. It wasn't something that was going to kill him, but he was sick. He said, and this was in the month of Ramadan. And Ishaq ibn Rahawayh, one of his teachers came to him along with some of the group from among the ulama. Now you see, in those days, you would have Imam Muhammad, Yahya ibn Ma'in, Ishaq ibn Rahawayh, and other people. You would have all of them sitting on one table. You know, and there would only be light in the room. These brothers came, when they came to visit Imam Bukhari, he says, Ishaq ibn Rahawayh said to him, Aftarta ya Aba Abdullah. He said, did you break your fast, ya Aba Abdullah? Bukhari says, Qultu na'am. I said, yes. He said, I feared. Now listen to what Ishaq ibn Rahawayh said. He said, I feared that you would be weak and accepting Allah's concession. I feared that you would be weak and accepting Allah's concession. Now that's almost the opposite of how we think. You think to kill yourself, you being good and strong. Why? Because the understanding is wrong. And strength is in your understanding of the deen and putting it into practice. Bukhari understood the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't kill yourself, and Allah loves for you to accept His concessions the same way He loved for you to do the things that He had made compulsory on you. So it was strength in the eyes of his sheikh that you look, man, you didn't kill yourself, your understanding was on the money. That's something that we need to keep in the forefront of our minds. There are other areas about the types of sicknesses, but that will suffice for now, inshallah. Also, the area of traveling and fasting. We know the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he, Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami, questioned the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about fasting on a journey. عَنِ السِّيَامِ فِي السَّفَرِ. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, إِن شِئْتَ فَصُمْ وَإِن شِئْتَ فَأَفْتِرْ. If you so desire, fast. And if you don't want to fast, then don't fast. In other words, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Qur'an that the sick and the person who is on a journey, that they are allowed to make up a like number of days, this shows that as long as you're on a journey, you have a concession not to fast. And this is correct. Alright? This is something which is correct. It's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, one of the things that we also find from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyah deals with in his book, Zadul Ma'ad. He said, the Sahaba, when they intended to go out on a journey, they would break their fast even if they were at home. Let me say that again. Before somebody say, brother, you are set tripping a bit. The companions used to, if they intended to go on a journey, I'm traveling today. It's going to be rough. No, I'm breaking my fast now before I leave the house. Says, and they never used to consider that it necessary to have to go out of the city limits or past the houses in the area of the resident. Says, he goes on and he says, and they would say, this is the sunnah. This is the sunnah. We know in the books of Usul, the books that help us to understand the wordings and the expressions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever the Sahaba say as-sunnah, they're speaking about as-sunnah al-Muhammadiyya, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so when they say this, it is as if they were saying, قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوْ فَعَلَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, or he did. It has that type of strength, that type of weight. It has that type of strength and that type of weight. So here they used to say this, he says. And so Ubaid ibn Jabr, he said, I rode with Abi Nasr al-Ghifari, the companion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on a ship in Ramadan. We had not yet passed the homes. And he called for a knife. Time to cut and share some bread. Called for a knife. And he said, come. You know, he's calling me and say, come. And he says, and his student or his friend, he says, man, don't you see we're still looking at the homes? We even ain't left the city limits yet. And you say, come and cut bread? His understanding was, no, we couldn't do that. Abu Nasr says, أَتَرْغَبُ عَنْ سُنَّةِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. You want to turn your back on the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This particular narration was expressed by others from among the Sahaba, and it shows that a person who intends to go on a journey, he doesn't have to wait to leave his home to break his fast, but he may do it even before he leaves home. Okay? Now, tayyib. One of the things that we have also in respect to the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
Tayyib, your brothers and sisters. Alhamdulillah.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his book, فَعِدَّةٌ مِّنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. Now one of the things he says, and a like number of days should be made up. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say that you have to make it up like this, that. You don't have to make it up consecutively. He just says, for a like number of days. Now you see some of the expressions in the Qur'an. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves something general, then it is to be considered as general unless we have some specification from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or we have some other specification from another Qur'anic verse. This particular principle has been expressed by the ulama, al-umum yujra ala umumihi hatta najid ma yukhassisu. The general principle, the general law, is to be looked at as being general until we find something that specifies. So when Allah says a like number of days, that is how we take it. It's how we do it. A like number of days. You don't have to fast every day, but you try to make it up as soon as possible. Alright? This was the position that was held by Ibn Abbas, Anas ibn Malik, Abi Huraira, the people of Medina, Hassan, Sa'id ibn Musayyib, and Malik, Abu Hanifa, Al-Thawri, Al-Awza'i, Al-Shafi, wa Ahmad. Others as well. Was the sunnah. There is a discussion, and I'm going to take the time to deal with it a little bit, concerning this area of making up the fast. Now, the majority of the ulama of the opinion that if you, for a genuine reason, break your fast in Ramadan, that you don't have to immediately after this Ramadan go and Shawwal, or the next month, that you have to make it up immediately. However, it should be done before the coming Ramadan. Alright? Now this position was held by basically there's four schools of thought. Malik, Abi Hanifa, Shafi, Ahmad, Rahimahumullah, and basically Jamahir al-Salaf had this particular position. And it was based first of all, on what we have in the Quranic verse, and also because of a hadith reported by Bukhari and others from Aisha radiallahu anha, where she said, كَانَ يَكُونُ عَلَيَّ أَصَّامٍ رَمَضَانَ فَمَا أَسْتَطِيعُ أَنْ أَقْضِيَهُ إِلَّا فِي شَعْبَانَ. I would have fast to make up, and I would not be able to do it until Sha'ban, the following year, before the upcoming Ramadan. It's a month before. This particular narration has an addition. The addition is mudraj. What that means is, the person narrating the hadith, the way he expresses it, it seems like it is a part of the hadith, but it is not. This expression says, because of my preoccupation with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or because of him. Now, it was necessary to understand that that is not a part of the hadith, because it would imply that, well, it was because of this reason that I delayed it. In other words, if I was not preoccupied, I would have made it up immediately, and then the hadith would no longer be evidence. Alright? But that particular part is considered mudraj and is not considered a part of the expression of Aisha radiallahu anha, not a part of the hadith. Alright? However, it seems to be something good for the believers if they're able to make it up as soon as possible to do so. And I said that because of one or two reasons. And this position, actually the position of making it up early and that you had to do it, was a position held by some of the ulama. And one of the things they used was the Quranic statement, سارعوا إلى مغفرة من ربكم وجنة عرضها السماوات والأرض أعدت للمتقين. That particular verse found in Ali Imran. Here Allah says, سارعوا, hasten. And here it's a command to hasten to the forgiveness of your Lord and the paradise or gardens, the expanse of which is like the heavens and the earth, prepared for the righteous. And the word used was muttaqin. And a taqwa, brothers and sisters, refers, and it has its root in a word which means to protect oneself, or generally protection. But in this case, it means doing whatever Allah commands or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and staying away from what they forbid. That is taqwa. Putting, actually then, it's real dynamic, the concept of righteousness in Islam, and it's not passive at all. It requires involvement. This particular verse then was used in this way, hasten towards it. So, do the things that you're commanded to do as soon as you can, immediately. Also, they looked at the ahadith, or that particular narration by Aisha radiallahu anha, and they didn't look at the second part, which is not of it, but they looked at her expression herself, where she says, I was unable to. Which means, the inferred understanding is that if she was able to, she was not going to delay it. For these reasons, it is better if a person is able to do it as soon as possible. Look, clear yourself. Do it as soon as you can. Right? Now. طيب. أيوة. Now, that was actually an introduction to our discussion on Subul al-Salam. And perhaps in our next sitting, when we get into the meat of the matter, inshallah, we'll be able to have some benefit, inshallah. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.